On Friday, November 15th, Netflix and Most Valuable Promotions bring you the highly anticipated heavyweight boxing mega event of the year. Jake Ogayo Paul will go toe-to-toe in the ring against Iron Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet. Don't miss this epic showdown live from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Watch Paul versus Tyson, Friday, November 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live only on Netflix.
Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This episode is brought to you by Opill, the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. Opill is FDA-approved, full prescription strength, and estrogen-free. Plus, there's no prescription needed. Finally, the days of needing a prescription for birth control are over. Opill is available online and at most major retailers. Take control of your health and reproductive journey with Opill. Birth control in your control. Use code BIRTHCONTROL for 25% off your first month of Opill at opill.com.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albinson.
And today we are talking about season 7, episode 14, No Trout About It. This is very fun. I know we jumped around a little bit because of New York Comic Con. We're sort of getting back on schedule now. This episode was very fun. It was written by Steve Franks, Bill Callahan, and Carlos Jacot, directed by Brad Turner. And it's a really fun one. And then Tim and I answer a lot of fan questions. You all had a lot of fan questions about this episode. I love it. Anyway, please enjoy. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie.
I like your hair today. Look at us. We're both in collared shirts.
Surprise. Shocker. I know I'm in gingham again.
I love the gingham. I love the gingham. It's really interesting in LA right now. I feel like it's like very warm and dry and summer-like, but like the sun goes down at 4:45. And so it also feels like winter in like the weird LA winter-y kind of way. I'm very confused on what season it is right now.
I had an early doctor's appointment this morning. So when I walked down, it was still cold. So I put on a jacket, which I had on, but then I removed that because now I'm in the studio and got a little warm.
You know what I mean? LA's interesting. LA gets interesting this time of year, but
my favorite year. And what did I text you this morning?
Mine too. I know. Look at us. Why does it make me so happy? It makes me so happy.
Okay. What, for those of you not noticing, and you've got yours too. Meg and I both have Starbucks Christmas mugs.
Cups. It makes me so happy. Here's what's funny. I was in Starbucks the other day, and the day after Halloween, and there were all these boxes. I was in a Starbucks the day after Halloween and the day after that, two different Starbucks, and I felt like I was having a Sean vision because I looked at all of these boxes stacked up against the wall, and they were just cardboard boxes, like Amazon boxes or whatever. But there was this red sticker that said no peeking, and it had all these exclamation points. And I was like, I think I know what's in those boxes. And then the next day I was at a different Starbucks and I saw in their corner, they had several of those boxes stacked up as well. And it also said no peeking. And I'm like, these for sure are the Christmas cups and nobody's allowed to peek just yet. And I knew exactly what was going on.
I got my cup this morning, I immediately took a picture and sent it to you gleeful. And your reply was equally gleeful.
Oh my God. It's here.
Here we are.
It's here.
We're so excited.
We're so children around this time of year.
That our calendar is really set by Starbucks mugs and our cups, whether it's pumpkin spice lattes or now the bird. Why are you still in here?
Tim has a bird in his house right now, and he's being very sweet of just like opening a window and trying to get the birdie to find its way out. So welcome to the zoo episode of The Psychologists Are In. I learned a lot about birds when I lived on a ranch, and I learned that sometimes they don't know the difference between a closed door and an open door, or a closed window and open window. And so a lot of times they would fly in and they couldn't figure out how to get out. And so I learned you have to grab with two hands or hope by opening the window or the door, they figure it out. Anyway.
You know, the craziest thing one day we had a hawk flew in our our living room, like, and then got caught in the curtains.
I feel like there's a spiritual meaning to that. Doesn't there have to be a spiritual meaning to that? Did you look up this? See, that's what I would have done. I would have been like, oh, wow, that's a hawk. And 2 seconds later, I'd been like, what is the spiritual meaning of a hawk flying into your living room? And then I would be like, this means something.
If I had text you when the hawk came in the living room, you would immediately text back the meaning.
I would have. Yes. I would have been like, first off, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. It can't be bad. It feels magical.
When you're visited by a bird in the house.
I was staying in an Airbnb during the pandemic, and there was a bird that like would fly in all the time. I'm assuming it was the same bird. I just actually felt like I got to know the bird, and we developed a little bit of a friendship.
Did you name him or her?
No, it was a little finch. So I started saying, hi, Finny.
That's good. I think this was a finch just coming in.
Yeah. All right. Should we talk about no trout about it? Speaking of animals.
If you
trout is not a fish.
If you, Maggie, are ready to help me podcast the shit out of this beautiful episode, then yes, I am. I was about to say it's been a long week. My week's just made best moment of the week because I'm looking at my dear friend Maggie and getting to podcast the shit out of it with
feels
her.
Feels nice. It feels nice to sort of return to this, to some Christmas. And also, I think my cold is finally, it's moving out. It's not officially gone yet, but it's much better. And thank you for your patience this week and understanding I was a little under the weather.
So we were going to podcast yesterday. I woke up yesterday morning excited and then realized, oh, boo, we pushed it to today.
We did, but now we're here.
Now we're here. We are more rested.
Doing it.
We would have been yesterday, and we're excited. Hey, speaking of animals, it was an amazing weekend because I got to literally hang out with you in person. Oh,
yeah.
So do you want to tell the nice people what we did?
Mm-hmm. Tim and I got to help host the Best Friends Animal Society Super Adoption Weekend, which is a weekend where Best Friends Animal Society gathers a bunch of animal rescues, even shelters in Los Angeles. It's like an adoption fair, but it's not like, oh, they're just adopting dogs out to anybody. Like, it's a very selective group of rescues that they bring in. So we got to help get some animals adopted. I don't know if I have the correct numbers, but I believe it was about 300 animals.
The latest numbers I saw were 389 dogs were
adopted.
Our contact there told me that all the trucks went home empty that day.
Mm-hmm. So it's really magical. And we've been involved with Best Friends for a long time. I'm involved with Best Friends because of Tim, who was involved with Best Friends even before me and has a very special story about one of his soulmate heart dogs that you all know we've talked about many times, the sweetest Lucy.
A decade ago at Best Friends Animal Society's Super Adoption Fest was where I met and fell in love and adopted Lucy. You all know Lucy.
Lucy was our set dog. She was one of our mascots and we miss her dearly, but now you have Mabel and
the magical Mad About Mabel.
You
were there at the adoption festival the day I met Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was. I remember that day. I walked up and I was like, I just got here and you've already adopted a dog.
As we had said, like, so Betty and Sally were gone. Our previous babies have been gone for about a year before we went down. And I repeatedly said to the girls who were maybe 5 and 6, I was like, we are not getting a dog. We're just going to help the dogs. Mm-hmm. But pull into the parking lot, repeat that mantra. Remember, we're not here to get a dog. We're just here to help the dogs. Within 30 seconds, I look at Lucy, bend down and go, who are you?
Also, I could have told the girls, like, watch this.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes, he's going to have fallen in love with a dog. And I love that. I love that story. It's really sweet. I'm so glad we got to be a part of that weekend. We always love it. And it's very special. And I just realized a lot going on this week. I haven't posted about that. And I will to share some of the pictures from that day.
That was going to be my post yesterday because I wanted to post a little non-political palate cleansing out there.
So when some palate cleansing and some sweetness.
So when we're doing the podcast, that's what I'm putting up. And I just love that it made me feel, I mean, in addition to helping the dogs, it just made me feel so good to be back at that event with you.
Yeah, it was really special. I did it last year, but you couldn't. And so it was not the same.
Well, thank you. Why couldn't I?
I can't remember, but I did it. It was almost the same weekend last year. I think you were at a convention. I think you were in London. You were away. You were gone. You were somewhere.
I might have been in London at a conventioning it.
Also, it was later. You may have been at the ranch already.
I was pretty happy about showing up because, you know, that thing that happened was in all the papers. So my mobility is not as great. So the lovely thing about Best Friends is they made it incredibly accessible for me so I could get up on the stage. And I was really, I mean, I was just too scared to do without you before because I wasn't sure then. So this time when we were talking about it, I was like, you can be there. My emotional support animal Maggie's could be there, right? You're like, absolutely.
So I was there and, but I didn't even have to be. I mean, yes, on stage, but they had a cart. It was really, really, it was a nice setup at the Rose Bowl. It was a very special weekend. And we'll share all of that with you. And some of you came out, some of you psychos, we got to see you and hug you and support of the animals. And it was very special. And we appreciate that too, because, you know, the more people we get aware of the animal adoption and rescue and the situation in LA and all that stuff, it's helpful. So spread the word. Lots of animals need to get adopted.
Obviously, hashtag adopt don't shop. Y'all know this already.
Y'all know this. All right, Sam. Let's get into this.
No trout about it. Let's go.
Are you ready to help me podcast the living shit out of this episode? I'm really spicy today.
Heff yes. Let's go.
Yep. Season 7, episode 14, No Trout About It, written by Steve Franks, Bill Callahan, and Carlos Jaycott. This might be one of the first times I've seen three writers on one. And directed by Brad Turner.
Your pal Brad, I've got a great psych separation. I'll get lay on you when we get into the episode.
So do I. Oh my God, that's so funny. Like when I think back now, I'm like, right, Brad Turner, it was a thing for us to bring in someone new this late in the game. And he had directed before, psych before, but not one of the regulars, right?
I want to say this was like his third episode.
Oh, was it his third? Okay, well, that makes more sense. But I feel like by season 7, we had our regulars and that's pretty much all it was going forward with the rest of the show.
Brad is such an old pro that he just immediately knocked out of the park and we're like, yes, we need Brad. And also he's just a stone cold cool dude.
So let's say a couple things. One, Devin, who we love so much and was with us from the very beginning. Devin got an amazing job. She has left and gone to be full-time at this new amazing job. And we are so grateful to her and love her. And we're so happy for her and all of her new endeavors. And I know you psychos love her too. And she'll be around and stays a part of the family and all of that. We love her so much. But we would also like to welcome Mara, who is behind the scenes right now, but she's going to be working with us going forward and you all will soon love her just as much as we do. And I'm excited for all the shenanigans, psychanigans. I don't know. I was trying to come up with a word.
You found the word. You found it immediately. Psychanigans.
So hang on. And I have to share this with you, Tim, because Mara texts me. Birds have historical and cultural significance of carrying important messages. That's what I said. That's so crazy. That's how I always feel. I'm like, oh, Peanut's trying to tell me something or somebody's trying to tell me something. We view them as aspiration beings reminding us to reach for the stars and keep pushing toward our goals. One, spiritual awakenings. Two, rewarded for hard work. And three, relationships are in a good place. Tim,
Maggie,
you got a nice little blessing today. I love that. Mara, thank you. You're already in the magic of believing circle and our manifestation woo-woo-ness that we have. Anyway.
My pendant that Lily gave me for Christmas tree, which has a raven on it.
Oh, I love that. That's right. Lily got that for you.
Yes. Well,
for your B-Day.
And she got a blue ruby in Vancouver. There's some.
Vancouver.
Okay. We just saw. Yes.
Let's go. All right. Here's the deal. Y'all had a lot of fan questions, interesting fan questions for this one. So we're going to synopsis the shit out of it, but also we're going to get to those fan questions too. So forgive me if I'm speaking fast or this feels like a little, you'll see. I'm excited. Okay. So
but it will still be full of delicious flavor. I guarantee.
Full of delicious flavor. All right. So this air date was May 29th, 2013. Guest stars were Anthony Michael Hall. Is it Josh Pace? It is, right? Or Pays? He's great. And Sage Brockovic. Okay. The synopsis is, like the quick synopsis is, petty private investigator Leo Quinn hires Psych to find out who fatally poisoned him and why. It turns out to be about his code for a rich old client's diamond stuff safety deposit, the key being used by an employee involving infidelity and revenge.
You know what he thinks he was? He thinks he was murdered.
Tim, I have a question.
Maggie, I have an answer.
How can he think he's murdered if he's still alive?
Because he's been poisoned.
Oh, I see. So he's been
pre-murdered.
There you go. I love it. Okay, awesome. It's all told through the contradictory explanations given by Sean and Lassie to FBI agent Harris Trout, who is mandated to audit and clean up the SBPD targeting the chief, Carlton Moonlight Stripper Buzz.
He's not an FBI agent. He's a consultant hired by...
Correct. Correct.
If not to correct you, but correcting you.
No, it is. The episode kicks off with us being called in for an evaluation. I got a hand... Anthony Michael Hall is fantastic. He is so ridiculous.
Ridiculously good. He was part of our Breakfast Club goal that we were always trying to fulfill. And he came in and just, first of all, Anthony Michael Hall, when I was a young man of wanting to be an actor, like his work in the 80s so formed my style of comedy. I mean, 16 Candles, come on.
Right.
Like I then walked into the lunchroom being like that sort of like, jokey, funny guy trying to be like my version of what he was. And so,
yeah, I think that I was the same. I this one was big for me. I don't know. I also just loved the energy he brought. It's so different than the rest of Psych. Like it was really good. It was really good. I think he's fantastic. And I think it was the perfect, like, I don't know, it stirred up a lot of stuff in us. Like, we all have to unite against him in a lot of ways. And, like, it takes a minute because we're all trying to get on his good side while at the same time he's being a total jerk. Did you call me Cupcake at one point?
The fact that Anthony came to play, which
he really did.
We ask and require of our guest stars.
So here's something I really look forward to as the weather turns cooler. Football games, pumpkin spice lattes, I don't know, making hot toddies, getting ready for the holidays. It's fun. And of course, slipping into a cozy sweater from Quince. I love Quince, you all. I love it so much. They're known for these Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Where can you find cashmere for $50? And it's not just that. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. It's so true. You all, I have used Quince. I use them, and not just because they sponsor this pod. Like, I have fallen in love with their products, from their bedding to their, like, housewares, and then, of course, their cashmere, their cotton. I mean, it's all amazing. So they have leather jackets. They have these cotton cardigans, soft denim, so much more. It's just so nice. Everything is so cozy. So how are they able to do that? They partner directly with top factories, cutting out the cost of the middleman, which passes the savings on to us. Isn't that nice? And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And, of course, premium fabrics and finishes for that like luxury feel in every piece. So I have their duvet cover. I have their sweater. I have like these wooden spoons they have that are so great, like salad spoons. I have linen napkins from them. You all, they've like outfitted my place and me. I'm just such a fan. And the quality is so nice. And their stuff is so beautiful, especially, and their home stuff is insane. And it would be so much more someplace else. It's really crazy. I am become a huge fan. So get cozy with Quince's high quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/pineapple for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. How nice is that? Quince, quince.com/pineapple to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/pineapple.
Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a 1-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
What if you could hear your favorite song for the first time again? Introducing the all-new, reimagined Nissan Kicks. With an available Bose Personal Plus sound system that uses speakers in the headrest to create a 360-degree listening experience. You've never heard anything like this. Reimagine your music and your drive. Experience the all-new, reimagined Nissan Kicks for yourself at NissanUSA.com today.
Available feature. Bose is a registered trademark of the Bose Corporation.
This episode is brought to you by Skinny Pop Popcorn. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious. Oh, so light and crunchy. Skinny Pop Original Popcorn is the snack you've been searching for. Made with just 3 simple ingredients, popcorn kernels, sunflower oil, and salt. Snacking never felt or tasted so good. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious. Give yourself permission to snack and pick up Skinny Pop Original Popcorn today.
So you're getting hungry, really hungry. Head to Jack in the Box and pick up a Smashed Jack. It's a juicy, delicious smashed burger topped with cheese, pickles, grilled onions, and boss sauce. And it's now available on sourdough. The Smashed Jack, only at Jack in the Box. Order one on the Jack app today.
One of the things I thought about this episode was how little we probably had to work. Because it's like all in the office, and then we have the stunt, and then we have like one other place we show up. But for the most part, you and I definitely went to LA during this episode.
I have a fun observation.
Yeah.
This episode starts with, I think the second line is instead of a bye Felicia, it's a hi Felicia.
It is a hi Felicia.
When Corbin meets the young lady at the marathon or the run.
It's so funny. This really stood out to me as one of the funnier episodes. I know it's kind of like a bottle, like we're in the chief's office most of the time and not a lot of movement. And although there is with the boys, I felt like the talk, the dialogue in this was very, very funny. And a lot of that was Trout. Okay, so the Santa Barbara Police Department has a new consultant, interim police chief Harris Trout, played by Anthony Michael Hall. He is intense. He's brought into review to the department's procedures, which means Juliet, Sean, Gus, Lassie, and Chief Vicker all on the line. Okay. It's the case of the dead pharmacist. This is about a dead pharmacist, right? So Trout is skeptical of Sean's whole psychic act, which means Sean and Gus are already in trouble. But then they get a case involving a suspicious death of a pharmacist. It's classic Sean and Gus. They're all over the place, following visions and taking wild leaps to crack the case. And they're...
I am totally lost on who the pharmacist was.
Unconditional ways. Oh, unconventional ways. The pharmacist is different from... So there's the guy in the hospital bed, right? What's his name? Yeah. And...
Joey Slotnick.
Yeah. So every single person that they start to go like investigate that it might be starts turning up dead. So this episode is mostly told in flashbacks with each of us giving our own version of what happened. Go ahead.
It was really the first time we have show for somebody. Ding, 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 ding. First time we really implemented a Rashomon tool to tell the story.
Yeah.
I loved how the story was told through other people's points of view, which I loved.
I loved that too. I thought it was really interesting because I also think everybody's take on it is slightly different, which is as it would be in real life. Basically, this episode goes through an entire, we go into flashbacks to tell the story and weave through like the retelling of a story to Trout to try to tell him what happened and why things had to go the way that they went from when the wife shows up.
Yes.
I thought for sure it was going to be like, this was one where I actually didn't know it was going to be him. And I was in the episode, but I forgot. And I was like, I feel like a lot of the times, even though I was a part of the episode, I can also watch and be like, oh, come on. We gave that away. We really gave that away. Yeah. But like someone's got a Woody. That one was so obvious.
There's a very fun life imitating art moment in this opening sequence.
Which is?
As Laster and Juliet pull up into the, just prior to the car accident, you give a gasp, which we've discussed my driving before on the show, but not to get too personal, but the most prominent recurring argument between Allison and I in our marriage was my driving, how she never got in the car without gasping in fear. Because back when I was driving, I fully admit I was a too aggressive driver.
I'm a fast driver, but I don't think I'm too aggressive. But I will, if Allison ever needs support or validation for her feelings, she can call me.
Oh, because you have definitely have experienced that. There was a drive, at least one drive for you where I picked you up to go. You and I went hiking out in Lighthouse Park. And the in West Van, Marine Drive is a very fun, curvy road to drive, especially fast. And so I think a couple of times we made this drive to go do this hike. And I think more than once I made you gasp and you were a little scared.
Oh, yeah. All that was just, that was Maggie in the car. That was not Juliet in the car when I'm gasping in that scene. And I remember how many times we had to be covered in that ridiculous ash for when that collision happens.
You mean the cake batter?
I mean the cake batter, yes. They literally, you see even in the moment, Gus like pushing the urn toward us. Anyway, but I actually really enjoyed, yep, thumbs up. I actually really enjoyed not knowing and kind of following this story. I thought we did a really good job. I had a lot of memories from this episode, but I was actually really impressed with it. One of my favorite moments is Trout saying to you something, oh my God, I'm going to forget the line. I should have written it down, about the waxing your chest.
Yes. I got to get something off my chest. That's a job for the world's strongest wax.
Yes. They were some of the best one-liners. And I, as much as I I know and love all the jokes on our show. That really felt like Carlos J. Cott to me. Because I was like, I love his jokes.
It was a very J. Cott-esque acerbic.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
That's something very, very, very important for our hardcore fans. When we first see Trout, get ready, everybody. He is in one of Lasseter's classic signature sapphire bottle blue dress shirts. So that's our first drink up of the episode, everybody.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So after we meet Trout, we have a fun thing where I go to shake his hand, and he offers this is a foreshadowing. He offers me the Melbo.
Uh huh.
Which
he sure does.
Mel Damsky, our dear commander, this is 14 years before the pandemic.
Yep.
And Mel just like stopped shaking hands. So Mel would always rather than shaking hands in the morning, he would offer his elbow, and he called it his Melbo.
Yeah.
So there's a little psychic premonition where Trout just offers me his elbow, and I just which I'm confused about. So I just very gingerly take the knob of his elbow and shake it.
I'll also add to that Gus putting a mask on in one of the opening scenes. Yeah.
That was next to my notes, but you do it.
Yeah.
It's like we wrote the same notes. We are of one mind. We've been doing the show.
Yes. I mean, that was more of my mental note, because I was like, oh, wow, we've had a couple of those. Remember when we did the pandemic episode, like our outbreak episode? It was crazy. I was like, that's weird. Anyway, continue, Tim.
Let me jump ahead to when we find the Joey Slotnick's character's wife, who's now
dead.
She's been obviously murdered.
Yes, she is. I was not expecting that. Go ahead.
And there was actually a lot. There was an uncharacteristic amount of blood for our show.
I thought that too.
But
I was like, we got wild in season 7 with that.
So there's one of my favorite moments of the series, and it's in this scene where Lasseter walks into the crime scene. And it's the first time, it's a show first, everybody. So ding, 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 ding. Show, not, it's series first. Pull the car over, put the weights down, you know everything. Get off the ladder because you've been taking down Halloween directions. Or you're already putting up your Christmas decorations, which some people are already doing. So anyway, get off the ladder. Because it's the first time that Lasseter gets a full-on Caruso written into the show.
Right? That's right.
And he has this great line of, I did the voice, and I did like the whole David Caruso impression from, was it CSI? It was CSI, right?
No, NYPD Blue.
True, but the glasses were CSI.
Oh, was CSI? Was it CSI? It was CSI, yeah.
But I give a, it looks like we've got 50 Shades of Grey. I can't even get Laura. Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey matter, which... Yeah. Made me laugh, and of course it's not in Lasseter's mind. Everyone in the room laughs, and I think Sean corrects me and says that's not all how it happened. But Lasseter was so delighted with. There's a great meta moment where Trout even calls out his Caruso.
I was just about to say we actually call it out in this one, because I was like, wait a second, we've been doing the Caruso. Also, did you catch the Dobson?
It's an intensely rare time that a character other than Lasseter has a Dobson.
Yeah.
Where he says
and it's Trout
in charge of the case, right?
Yeah, he says he's putting Dobson in charge of the case. I'm like, oh my god, we had another Dobson. Little did we know.
I just told the story that somebody else took a Dobson.
A season later, we were going to reveal our Dobson. Wait, so keep going, Tim.
So again, it's 14 years before the pandemic, and Slotnick comes in. He says he's posing. Gus won't shake hands. Puts on the mask. And we got to call out our dead guy, the great Joey Slotnick. And Joey, at this time in his career, was a big stinking big shot of an actor.
He was, yeah.
He had a great television career, had a bunch of movies, in Twist. I had a bunch of huge movies. And Joey was delightful. I remember, like, he and I just kind of hit off and went. We just had this really lovely dinner out somewhere in Vancouver.
He is. He's super nice.
And I just remember having a great dinner with Joey. And it's funny because when I was in England, I was looking at my phone. And Steve, who, you know, my buddy Steve, I was looking through contacts. And apparently I still have Joey Slotnick's number on my phone. And he saw it. He's like, wait, you know Joey Slotnick?
Oh, really? Oh, that's hilarious. Everyone knows him, though. I feel like he's just been around for so long, and he's so talented. We were actually really lucky to get him. I thought he was so good in this.
He was very good. He was Woody Allen-esque sad sack. He was,
yes, totally.
You need a shout out. In the ones where we're sort of getting the right act read to us back in the VIX office, you are in full on, like, you've got Veronica Lake waves, which is one of my favorite
looks. I was like, my hair is really, I was like, I really dressed up for Trout, or I did my hair for Trout or something. I was the same way. I was like, my hair is especially like very curly in this episode.
The bob was kind of growing out a little bit. So it was a longer, but it was full. It was that wave was just the long Veronica Lake wave, which
I like it.
And it's got, I have two heart eyes emojis in a row over your Veronica Lake hair.
Yeah. I like it. I like it too.
time that we hear for faux show that McNabb's trip name is Morning Wood. Because he, Trevor refers to him as Magic Mike. He goes, actually, I dance for the name Morning Wood.
That is my one of my favorite things is the runner of him being a stripper and how Karen doesn't remember it because she
was hammered.
Well, she was so hammered. Yes. We were getting loose at this point on Psych.
At this point, yes. I mean, it was a long time coming, but
yeah.
We were full on in fun mode at this point.
Yeah, we were really getting away with it too. Hence the blood. For me, this episode, what it was really fun because I felt like there was a lot of action and I like the way we told the story. But more than that, I was like, there were some of the best one-liners I felt we had. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, I really, on those lines, we do need to call out Steve and Carlos and Jake.
Yeah.
Whoever else wrote this episode for the style of storytelling was so great. The flashbacks, which we've never really done before to this degree.
Yeah, it was good. It was good stuff. Let's get into some of these fan questions, Tim, because I think this will also sort of tell the story of this episode.
Yes.
Okay. These are random. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Me, 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 me.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Me, 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 me. Fan questions. It's time for questions. You've got queries. We've got answers. Some of them might be
lies.
Please.
There we go. All right. What would you do if someone's ashes landed on you?
What makes you think they haven't?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I would probably be like, this must mean something, just like I do everything else. I'd probably look at, what does it mean if someone's ashes float and land on you? And I would totally, totally look that up more than I would be like, ew. I mean, I'd be a little ew.
Mara is currently Googling.
Mara's going to send us the spiritual meaning of someone's ashes landing on you. Yeah. That would be my, no, I don't think I'd freak out too much.
You know, they say when a bird poops on you, it's good luck. I would think this is the next level of it's amazing luck.
It's amazing luck. It's just good luck.
You get to write your own ticket.
Okay. Did Mrs. Lauterbach do her own stunt? When she fainted, it looked like her. Don't lie. Okay. Hold on. So I don't actually know. I don't know that.
Say no. I'm going to say that would be a, because it was a full, dead, murdered body, limp body falling back on your back. And she even bounced her head off the back of the floor, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think that was a stunt person, even though it did look like her. I got to say that. So, okay, this is an interesting question. Lots of Trout questions. How is it even possible Trout got hired? I would say he was hired because of the wildness and looseness of the Santa Barbara Police Department. We have a psychic running around solving cases. Go ahead.
I know exactly why. He gives his resume to us when he walks in the office, the fix office. He was the chief of police of, I think, Baltimore and Philadelphia, and I can know the truth. And more importantly, he's a consultant on the show Badge of Honor, which O'Hara. Right.
That's really good.
You give a great look, like O'Hara just fully approves this and is excited. Yeah. And I got to say, like, I had in my notes, we didn't go the full synopsis. There's so many times in the show, in this episode in particular, where you're telling the story with your face and your wonderful looks so often. And just want to shout out how great you are with that.
Hey, thanks.
And how comedically talented you are.
This was fun. This one was fun. Losing my shit over the ashes was one of my favorite things. And also very Maggie. That high-pitched sound is very me. Like, I thought we were going to do the thing. Yeah.
To answer the question, I would remove whatever clothes I can move without getting arrested and have them dry cleaned. I also sort of feel like I don't understand the whole people being freaked out about ashes. I mean, they're ashes. It's not like you're getting brain matter on you.
No, I know. I think it's just the idea that it's like a human body and all the things, but at the same time.
So I have a friend that who works at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And people, the more times than you would imagine, people try and dump ashes in the Haunted Mansion ride.
Really?
Yeah. So they have.
Why?
They have cameras. They have like dark, they have like night vision cameras everywhere on the ride. So they see everything that happens. It happens in those cars you're driving around.
That's very weird to me.
Which is hugely against the law because you're dumping human remains. You know what they call the code though?
What?
They call it a sweeper.
No.
Yeah. They get a code sweeper. Like they'll hit on their walkie talkies. We got a code sweeper on the in the Haunted Mansion ride.
That is so weird to me. It's just so weird to me, the whole thing. But like, if you can dump it very quickly, you could get away with it. They're not going to be able to sweep all the ashes out. So if like their dying wish was to be dumped into the Haunted Mansion or whatever, some of the remains will remain there.
Allison has repeatedly said she's wants hers dumped at Musso Frank's.
Musso and Frank's. Oh my God, that's hilarious. What a weird thing to think about. Okay, why is this episode before the musical?
We're keeping it fresh and mixing it up.
Oh, because we're going out of order?
Because the musical is the season finale of season 7, correct?
Right. So, right. But that's next. We're not out of order.
But we are preparing a very special episode for the musical. Is this
very
correct?
Special. Yeah, for sure. So that's also, we just feel like the musical deserves to be, it needs some special treatment. It could be multiple episodes. We have lots of people to talk to.
It's a two-part episode, right? The musical, yeah. It's like part 1 and 2. And we already discussed the musical this spring at Motor City Comic Con on one of our
last in 2023. We did that at our second live show ever, but we're gonna bring it back. Year? That was in 2023, Tim. That was May of 23. I know, isn't it crazy how this whole year? Okay. Were there any lines or scenes that required more takes than anticipated and why? Yeah, that stunt with the ashes. I remember us doing it to a point where I was like, this feels like a lot of takes.
Yeah. It's like, guys,
I do remember that to the point where I was like, this is getting funny now.
Check the gate. Let's go.
Yeah. Is there a joke behind Harris Trout's name? I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of.
It's just a good name. Harris Trout. It's a good name. Gus had waffles for breakfast. What did you have for breakfast today, Tim and Maggie?
I had a little eggy cheesy muffin-y thing.
Nice.
That I picked up at Corset. Allison ran and grabbed me when she grabbed me this on the way home from the doctor's appointment.
Adorable. I had some coffee and then I had a shocker rice cake and peanut butter with a little banana. And then I took some DayQuil. That was my breakfast today. When Sean called the house of Margarita, which I love, by the way, my name is Margaret. I think he may have gotten this from me because when I took Spanish in high school, my name was Margarita. Yes.
The holiday season officially starts when you get that first card in the mail. Shutterfly makes it easy to add more meaning to the everyday with hundreds of holiday card designs that can be personalized in seconds with your favorite photos from this year. Select your greeting, customize the color, and even add little extras like personalized foil to make a holiday card that really shines. Enjoy 40% off with code SMILE40 at Shutterfly.com and send something meaningful this year. See site for more details.
This year, Santa's bringing the power of Energizer into his workshop.
Whoa, the Energizer Bunny's got so much power.
Wait, he's powered up all the toys. I think that means we're done for the year.
I love this bunny.
He's the hardest working helper the North Pole has ever seen. And he wants all your gifts to have the power of the number one longest lasting AA battery. So this holiday season, stock up on Santa's and the elves' favorite battery, Energizer Ultimate Lithium.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon. The holidays are here, and you know what that means? It's time to get your friends and family the gifts they deserve. Take the stress out of shopping with Amazon's great deals and low prices on a huge range of items from toys to tech and much more. Whoever you're gifting for, Amazon has great prices on everything you need this holiday season. Shop Black Friday week starting November 21st.
Was that James or was it someone else? That was James. That was to all James, right? Hey,
I've known you 18 years. I now think I need to start calling you Margarita.
Hey, I like the drink and I like the name. That's all James, like his voice and everything. He's so funny. And he can speak of the Spanish. So
he is bueno español.
Bueno español. Sure. Why did you make such a hateable character? I don't know. I don't find Trout hateable. I like laugh at him. He's awful. But like, he's so awful. It's such a contrast to Psych. I think it was the perfect energy. And he makes me laugh.
don't we arrest his mom and maybe see her today?
We do. When he's having that phone call and yes. He's like, mom, mother's like, you'll never see me again. I'm like, what? But it's awful.
I think we meet the mom down the road, maybe in Seize the Day.
Oh, I think we do actually.
That motel, the 777 motel, or where that, remember that motel, that crazy motel that
we used to fully remember that hotel. And I also remember that episode. I remember that episode pretty good. I think he was a perfect contrast to the show. And I think I get a kick out of him. He's awful, but I get a kick out of him. I don't hate him. I just don't hate him. At this moment, did you know Psych was renewed for the 8th season? Did we know that? I believe. So once we hit like season 4 or 5, we started to have a pretty good idea if we were coming back. And I think we did start to know that, like, I think we knew we were going to have time to wrap up the show. So by the end of season 7, and we were knowing we were going to do a season 8, I think we were a little bit like, we knew it was going to be a reduced season. We didn't know how reduced. And we knew that was going to be it. In fact, I feel like when they maybe picked us up for season 6, they picked us up for 7 and 8. Picked us up for season 6. When they picked us up for 7, they said there would be 7 and there would be another one to wrap it up. I think we knew.
You know the worst part of season 8?
What?
Les O'Hara.
I know. It was weird. It was weird. We didn't know what was with the timing of it was going to be. And then I was doing another show and it was all, we'll get to that. But why did Lassie do Jules like that, throwing her under the bus for dating Sean?
When a Trout calls out for a couple?
Yeah.
Because at this point in the storyline, still Lassie had not acceptfully wrapped his head around the fact that his best friend and partner was dating someone who he still at this point didn't really like.
No, that's what I think too. I think it was just protective and almost like anything to like protect Jules, protect Juliet. It's Lassiter has a weird way of doing things, but I do think deep down this was his way of being like, I don't think this guy is good enough for you. He wasn't totally on board yet. And so I see it as very sweet, to be honest. I know he throws us under the bus, but I think his intentions always underneath that and his really, really messed up way were about like, Jules can, like, you wanted me to be with somebody who you saw was more of an upstanding.
And Lassiter still thinks that Sean is just a fool who's certainly not worthy of his best friend.
Right. So I kind of think it's sweet. I don't see it throwing under the bus. Okay. Oh, did Trout blast an actual air horn filming that you said it was cake mix? I don't remember. Do you remember? I don't think so.
I don't remember. I almost feel like he did. I don't remember.
Maybe once. Okay, what was the dead guy powder in real life? I do think it was like brownie mix. I remember smelling great. That's one of my memories was like, oh, I want to eat this. I do believe, I thought about this after, I do believe it was brownie mix.
I think you're right because we smelled delicious. You're right.
We smelled delicious. And then I was hungry. Okay. And then did Anthony Michael Hall watch Psych before he came on the show? Like Carl Weathers did. How cute. I love that you guys listen and know all this stuff. Oh, Carl Weathers.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Man, that is such a heartbreaker. I don't know. I actually don't know. And
I'm going to say no because he was in Vancouver at the time. He was shooting.
Oh, that's right. He was shooting something else. I'm like, and I, this is another reason I don't think he did either. Cause I was like, he jumped right into the pace. Like he jumped right in. And so I was really impressed by him. I loved Anthony Michael Hall.
We had a great, Shocker went to Gerard's. I made it for drinks at Gerard's wrap one day. And this is after the end of the episode, we had a really lovely, lovely dinner.
Which leads to the next question. How was he behind the scenes? Just the loveliest. Not at all like Trout.
Total professional. Lovely
guy. Total professional. Love him. How did you get Anthony Michael Hall? He's the funniest part of the episode. This is what I love about the psychos. There's like the one side that's like, this is the most hateable character. We hate him. And then other people being like, he's so funny in this episode. So, and he is. I think he's hilarious. I think he is like low key, very funny. High key, very funny. And also, I want to see him in a comedy. I feel like we always see him in kind of more dramatic things. And he's very, very, very funny.
Yeah, I mean, I was afraid he was going to be a little intense as a human being because he can play intense so well. But then he turns out just being delightful. And I was kind of, I remember being a little apprehensive about asking him out for a drink afterwards. And he was still like, yeah, absolutely. And we had a really lovely cocktail.
Yeah.
Good dude.
Good guy. In the show, he is insert awkward smiley face and laughing emoji. Yes, it's true. He is awkward and kind of funny. Who was the most excited to work with him? I will say all of us, because at this point, it was such a goal to get the Breakfast Club on the show, all of them. And we were closer to completing that. So I think we all were. But if I had to pick one person, it would be James, because he is so diehard of those movies.
I think it was a close second because...
Yeah, and you close second.
Him as an actor when I was young was, again, as I said, as I already said, of course, he was so influential. And I think I rehearsed bits that he would do, lines he would did from Breakfast Club. And let's not forget, he was Rusty in National Lampoon's Vacation.
I just had a crazy deja vu. Mara, what does it mean? I'm kidding. I really did just have a crazy deja vu. Okay, so those were the fan questions.
They were pretty
questions,
good.
Questions. I want to do No Trout About. I want to do for the next round of The Psychologists Are In, Tim and I, we are going to discuss. One of the things I would like to really get into is not the behind the scenes, but what was the thinking behind getting the Breakfast Club on the show other than us being fans? Like, I think it would be really interesting to have James come on and sort of just like talk about how, when that became the goal and like, how did it start to form? Because I think he would also have some really fun stories from this episode. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you, psychos. This was No Trout About It. You all know what happens.
Awesomeness happens.
Awesomeness happens. And we will, Mara, deja vu is a false sense of familiarity. Your brain creates a sensation as if you have lived a certain situation before, but you're unable to retrieve it from your memory and cannot identify the actual situation. This is true. But what does it mean? I think what it's saying is it's
a Mara, you're awesome.
It means something. No, I think what she said, what this clarifies is that it doesn't mean anything. It's almost like a little brain where I'm experiencing it, but almost like in slow motion. So it feels like something I've experienced before, or
metaverse.
There are multiple planes and we're living on all of them at the same time. And who knows? I'm in my past, present, and future all at once. Okay.
I'm glad I'm in the past, present, and the future.
You are in the past, present, and the future. And all of you psychos are too. And psych is too. So we love you all very much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Psychologists Are In. Please follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In, our Twitter or X at Psychologist Pod, and our Patreon, patreon.com/psychologistsarein, for video episodes and no ads. Hope you all are great. We will talk to you next week. We'll be talking about the musical. Here's something I really look forward to as the weather turns cooler. Football games, pumpkin spice lattes, I don't know, making hot toddies, getting ready for the holidays. It's fun. And of course, slipping into a cozy sweater from Quince. I love Quince, you all. I love it so much. They're known for these Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Where can you find cashmere for $50? And it's not just that. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. It's so true. You all, I have used Quince. I use them not just because they sponsor this pod. Like, I have fallen in love with their products, from their bedding to their like housewares. And then of course their cashmere, their cotton. I mean, it's all amazing. So they have leather jackets. They have these cotton cardigans, soft denim, so much more. It's just so nice. Everything is so cozy. So how are they able to do that? They partner directly with top factories, cutting out the cost of the middleman, which passes the savings on to us. Isn't that nice? And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And of course, premium fabrics and finishes for that like luxury feel in every piece. So I have their duvet cover. I have their sweater. I have like these wooden spoons they have that are so great, like salad spoons. I have linen napkins from them. You all, they've like outfitted my place and me. I'm just such a fan, and the quality is so nice and their stuff is so beautiful, especially, and their home stuff is insane. And it would be so much more someplace else. It's really crazy. I am become a huge fan. So get cozy with Quince's high quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/pineapple for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. How nice is that? Quince, Quince.com/pineapple to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/pineapple.